Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 1 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Rick Maurer is here. Rick, I'm sorry Rick missed my opening segment, because I really bragged on him. I talked about him like he was a genius, and I'm really sorry he missed that. He's the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want, which is my constant lament around here. Beyond the Wall of Resistance is a book that I still use and get some benefit from. Feedback Toolkit, that's another one, and he's one of the top change management experts on the planet, probably in the galaxy. He's our good friend Rick. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. It's good
I'm
to
sorry
be
you missed my introduction of you in there earlier segment.
I am too.
I was telling the audience that, I mean, it was just a glowing response. It was off the chart, ridiculous. Anyway, no, I was telling them about what you've taught us over the years about change, and that you can't, it's not enough just to accept it and to realize that it's real, but you can't make a change and dine out on that for 5 years. And because of that, because things are moving so fast, you got to lead change. That's the one thing that you've taught us, is you can't just accept change. You have to lead change. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I agree with myself, apparently.
Yes. And then we had a pandemic, and it put all that on steroids.
That's true. And we also put some of the problems that come with change on steroids, because it's the mistakes that we were making before when we were leading change, like not getting other people on board, or everything dies out, you know, 6 months in and you mm-hmm. don't get any benefit from it. That same thing actually got exacerbated with people doing so much virtually. I mean, not everywhere. Some places really made the best of it and actually are seeing greater efficiency.
So are you saying that the adrenaline rush and the survival mentality sort of kept us from tinkering around with things that could be our next model?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to get really good information right now about what's going on. But I do know people who've put, you know, major things on hold, you know, and at first they thought, well, we're putting on hold for 2 months, see how it goes, and now it's, you know, it's closing in on a year. But other places, and they've told me this, I mean, are really using kind of the virtual environment really well. And so they're having, so when they have meetings, I think often they can be shorter meetings. There's just not, you know, plus the fact that people aren't flying to the meeting, they're not driving, they're not stuck in traffic, none of that. Right. It's just like, okay, we're meeting from 9 to 10, bam, let's do it.
But you bring it up
a good
point.
That well,
you bring up a good point, Rick, because one of the things I've done over the last 10 months, is to interview CEOs from all over the world and to hear them reporting their astonishment and how well their people are doing, in fact, to the point where they're saying, tell me again why I'm paying so much in rent. And, you know, we may never go back to the old way. But I have to say, you're bringing up an important point. I have not heard one of them say, boy, haven't we been great at figuring out where we're going next. I haven't heard one of them say that yet.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's hard to know, in some ways, where we're going to go next, because we don't know what that world is going to look like.
Right.
I mean, are we going back to offices? Are people going to be, I mean, you know, before we went on, you and I are just talking about travel and how much we really don't like air travel. And, you know, and if organizations start to say, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it can have a huge impact. If you're, especially, let's say you're in the hospitality industry and you rely on people flying to your mm-hmm. city. I mean, those sorts of things. Yeah. But I think it's difficult to make the kind of plans that we used to.
How do we? So you characterize this as putting fresh batteries in. How do we do that? How do we install in the? And I think in order to do this, I think we all have to get the frame of mind that okay, whatever we have now, right this moment in terms of our organization, is a good chance it's going to look very much like this for the foreseeable future. Do we need to establish that in order to put these fresh batters in?
Well, I think it's a good assumption to make, and if we're wrong, we haven't paid a bad price.
Congratulations.
It's still been
congratulations. What do these batteries look like, and how do we install them?
Okay. One thing that happens, and it's not just because of the pandemic stuff, I mean, this is just what happens, is that often leaders get an idea in their head, like, we need to do this. We need to go into this new market. We need to, you know, whatever. It could be any kind of big change. But if it's the kind of project or change that's really going to demand the real support of other people, we tend to not do a very good job of getting those people on board. I mean, we may give orders and say, you've got to do this, but then what we get is compliance. But if we really need people to be looking and saying, you know, I think if we tweaked it this way, if we did that, that's where the fresh batteries come. Mm-hmm. And let me give it an analogy. I was just thinking of it this morning. I used to put my bike up on a little rack thing, and it would connect to the gears on the bike, so I could ride it home inside, and I could change gears, and so I could change the resistance, so I could do all kinds of workouts. And it worked perfectly well for that. The problem is I hardly ever used it because it was so loud and so unfun. I mean, and it, mm-hmm. even though I could get a perfectly good workout, I didn't use it. So over the holidays, Kathy and I went out and really looked at indoor bikes. And there were two that were really good. One we went, we tied out really good, but it didn't have that, wow, this will be fun to use. We went to the other one. And the guy said, well, why don't you try it out? So I get on, and he puts on a video of somebody riding. It'd be like your guide in Moab, Utah, where these off-road trails. And it's incredible. And then, but it's just part of the warm-up of the ride. So I get off, Kathy gets on, and she starts pedaling, and now they're going uphill, and the front of this bike raises up. So you've got resistance, and the person in front of you is changing the resistance, saying, well, okay, we need to put in more effort. And so now, not only do we get the same benefit we would on the old one, it's fun, and I'm actually doing it. And there's something, the first time it's ever happened in our house, each morning we go, what time are you going to use the bike today?
And that's the kind of attitude. That's what he means by fresh batteries, folks, where your people excited about coming to work, wherever that may be, and getting started on the project. We're going to talk about how to make that happen. It can happen. It really can. I've done it. I've seen it. After the break with our good friend Rick Maurer. 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.